Brad, you done now.
This is the Brad Gilmore Show on demand or demand.
What's going on, y'all? This is DJ DMD, and y'all are checking out the Brad Gilmore Show on demand right here.
What's going down? It's your homie Dope Easy, the Southeast Beast, and make sure you tune in to the Brad Gilmore Show.
WCW champion, and you're listening to the Brad Gilmore Show. Can you dig that, sucker?
On demand. On demand.
And now, here's your host, Brad Gilmore.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the one and the only, the Brad Gilmore Show. Oh, the It's a great and beautiful Monday morning here in Houston, Texas, or wherever you are around the world. I'd like to thank you for tuning into the show today, whether it's via iTunes. If you go to iTunes, please subscribe to the podcast. It's the easiest way to get this show. Make sure you don't miss an episode. Automatically downloads to your iPhone or your smart device and to your iTunes on your computer. Automatically. You give me automatic. Or you can go over to Stitcher Radio and subscribe to our playlist over there. Or add us to your playlist, rather. Also, if you go to Brad Gilmore... Now, here's the thing. I don't know if... I'm getting conflicting reports, so you let me know if this works. If you go to the new BradGilmoreShow.com, you can hear the podcast. If that doesn't work, BradGilmore.podbean.com, which is the original address for the podcast website, or go over to BradJGilmore.com. That's the one I want you to do. Out of all these, go to BradJGilmore.com, and you can get your brand new Brad Gilmore Show every Monday and Friday. Yes, if you're a Monday listener and you're just finding out, we have a show twice a week now, Mondays and Fridays. So pretty cool stuff going down at the Brad Gilmore Show. And I've had a pretty cool little weekend here. Friday, we went out to Prive, Houston, and celebrated my man Tay Mitch's birthday. Also, today, I want to send a special shout-out to the Solid Monster. It's his birthday today. Happy birthday, Jason. Saturday, I went, me and my girlfriend got in the car, drove down to Galveston, and we went to Schlitterbahn. Now, for those of you who don't know, Schlitterbahn is a water park in Texas. A few years ago, they opened up the Galveston branch of Schlitterbahn, and that's where we went. We went over to Galveston, down to G-Town, and we went to Schlitterbahn in October. Now, people who are listening in, like, the north or whatever, you're like, y'all are crazy. But to me, it's still warm out here. The lines weren't long. It was a smart choice to go that Saturday in October, and I tell you, I had a blast. The water was a little cold at first. You had to get used to it, but once you got used to it, it wasn't bad at all. And, you know, it was no lines. And here's the thing. I have a fear of heights. I haven't told many people this, but I have a fear of heights. So my girlfriend, the first thing she wants to do is go to that ride. It's the slide, the water slide. It's the tallest one they have. It's like a white water slide, and it's a straight shoot down. Like, it's straight down as fast as your body will let you go. Straight down, and it's terrifying. I've never done it before. And so I was like, oh, man, she wants to do. So we go up to the top, and we look at it, and we both are kind of like, ooh, this is a little higher than I remember. She went down first, and I was like, man, she went down first. And she screamed all the way down, like, ah. Right? All the way down. And I was like, man. And I looked over the guy, and I'm like, how fast does this go? He was like, really fast. I was like, crap, I'm screwed. So anyway, here we are. We're getting ready to go down this. I'm getting ready to go down the water slide. And I thought it was going to have like a nice little trajectory and then drop. But as soon as you go down, it's a straight drop. And I'm telling you all this because y'all are such a great, y'all have been so great to me. The drop is so sudden, and it's the first time I've just involuntarily screamed in my entire life. It literally was like this. I start going down the... Let me take my headphones off. I start going down the water slide, right? And as soon as I drop, literally, this is what it sounded like. Oh! It was a very masculine scream. Like my girlfriend told me, it was very masculine. But that's what it sounded like. I was so frightening. And as soon as I, boom, hit the water, splashes everywhere. I jumped right up. I was like, hey, whoa. Okay, I'm ready. Let's do this. Woo! You know, I felt like I was Ric Flair. I could take on the world right now. I could go 60 minutes in a cage for the title, for the strap, brother. It was so intense. But yeah, great stuff at Schlitterbahn. I'm really glad I went. I had a great time. Speaking of wrestling, though, real quick, I'm going to throw this in here. This Saturday, and I'll talk more about it on the Friday show, but this Saturday, we're having Booker T's Reality of Wrestling live television tapings, which, by the way, we're on the Cube 57 here in Houston, and we have brand new episodes coming to you every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Central Time on Soul of the South Network. Check your local listings. We're in Philly, New York, Dallas, everywhere, Florida, California. We're everywhere. Go check the SSN.TV for all your listings for Soul of the South Network. But anyway, we have a really big show coming up October the 11th. So make sure you buy your tickets right now at realityofwrestling.com. The Boogeyman will be in attendance, and so will the one and only Hardcore Bob Holly will be in the building. And you can buy special meet and greet passes for them. I'll talk to you more about it on Friday, but make sure you go to realityofwrestling.com now and get your tickets. Moving right along, today I had a great day today, aside from the Texans losing to Dallas Cowboys. Yeah, I hate that. But aside from that, I had a great day. I woke up early this morning, and I went down to the Global Motor Car facility because I got a call late last night that they needed an actor to go and be in this music video for a Houston artist named Uzi. And I've had Uzi on the Brad Gilmore show before back in the day. So I was like, yeah, dope. Yeah, we can do this. So me and the man, Tay Mitch, the Duke of Debonair, we went down there. We were dressed like bosses. You know, I don't want to give too much away about the video, but I will say this. My role was sort of like either George Clooney or Brad Pitt from the Ocean's 11 franchise, mixed with a little James Bond. So, it was really cool. I had a really great time. Those are, you know, James Bond, Ocean's 11, two of my favorite film series of all time. So I had a lot of fun. On the video set, there were cars, there's money, there's guns, there's debonair activities, there's me in sunglasses, and I put a couple pictures on Instagram. I got to, drive around a little bit in a Ferrari, play with it, a little bit. You know, it's pretty cool. You can go to my Instagram, check that clip out, or check that image out. It's also on bradjgilmore.com if you want to go see more stuff, and I'm going to write a full review about my experience of the music video shooting. I hope it's out soon. I'm going to be really excited. It was shot with one of those red cameras, which are like the super cameras, like the really expensive super cameras. So that was pretty cool. I enjoyed that. So I had a pretty fun weekend, pretty dope weekend. We have a dope show for you today here on the Brad Gilmore Show. Part one with my conversation with Hash Brown / Jedi Master. It's kind of like Hash Brown week here on the Brad Gilmore Show. Today, we have part one of my interview with Hash Brown. Wednesday, the debut of our new podcast, he and Jedi Masters podcast, Nerds or Geeks, comic book and superhero talk and movie talk. So make sure you go check that out on Wednesday here on the Brad Gilmore Show On Demand Network. And then Friday, more Hash Brown part two. We talk all things. We talk our relationship, how we met our relationship. That sounded kind of weird. How we met, how long he's been doing this, his producing, his rapping, THEM, Nonpareil, the Shaolin Blow music video, much, much more. So make sure you check this out and check out part two and our new show, Nerds or Geeks, here on the Brad Gilmore Show On Demand Network, coming to you this Wednesday. So without further ado, let's throw it to DJ Motai's Monday Morning Music Mix here on the one and only Brad Gilmore Show On Demand.
Stand the fuck up. Southeast was good, Southwest what up? Yeah. Well, I'm like, damn, I'm
posted. Stuck on this purple potion. I'm smoking so much swag to win the word spoken. Women with their shirts off like Hulk Hogan. It's dope easy, Mr. No joking. Leave your hoe soaking. If she ever try to flirt with me, I'm so swagged up, I be killing niggas. Walk in the club and get a first degree. It's double homicide when me and killer come through. Team running, we running a running gun. The realest thing walking in the trillers name. Talking since the late great Pippin, the legend they call Bun. I keep two cups, I ain't gotta say why. Tattoo wings, so I gotta stay fly. Feeling like AI way back in 97. I'm the rookie of the year and these boys can't lie. I'm coming up quick and got lame niggas sick. Cause the girlfriends love the way a young nigga spit. Even got the old hoes all on Twitter in my DMs trying to get a young nigga dick. You better go get her for the swag, go get her. Word to ABN, I'm an asshole nigga. And I'm from the southeast, but you would think I was born on the west way. My grind on mash mode, nigga. Drill.
I'm tipping. I'm tipping. I'm tipping. I'm tipping.
I'm tipping.
I'm tipping.
I'm tipping.
I'm tipping.
I'm tipping.
I'm tipping.
I'm tipping.
I'm tipping.
I'm tipping.
I'm tipping.
Let's go.
Top back while I'm rolling.
Rolling.
Windows up while I'm blowing.
Blowing.
Car so clean it looks stolen. Bitch, I'm tipping.
Yeah.
I'm a pimpin', all these hoes knowin', so I don't choose to get chosen. And my money so long I can't fold it, bitch, I'm tipping.
When I met her, she was singing Drunk in Love.
Surfboard.
Well, ironically, she got drunk to fuck. Hotel cost $100 and I ain't tricking shit, so that's none for her, man. I don't give a fuck. If I was Donald Trump, I take away from hoes, I'm like a stomach tuck, and that real.
Riding.
I been getting paid, boy, try. On the road, getting dope while you broke, sitting home with no bread like a low carb diet. You a joke, your hoe on the road with a bro, cause you know you a lame and can't hide. Get a home out of clothes, stick a pole down the throat, make a toe, make a thing, she dying. Real talking, that nigga fucking with the flow, though. When the four done, four foes moving slow-mo. We been bold, know the pro flow like a loco. When I want more, whole globe in a chokehold. Eating like Coco, swinging like Coco. Like my essays in the bay on them low-lows. One of the best, I'm a done in the flesh. Got a star on my head, down the text, no Romo. Bitch, I'm tipping.
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 Let's go.
Top back while I'm rolling.
Rolling.
Windows up while I'm blowing.
Blowing.
Car so clean it looks stolen. Bitch, I'm tipping. I'm a pimp and all these hoes knowing. So I don't choose to get chosen. And my money so long
I
can't
go in a new Bugatti.
I probably traded in for a bunch of slabs. Hit text and wire wheel for a bunch of foes. They have my whole team crawling like a bunch of crabs. I'm sitting sideways with a blunt to pass. And got a chick with some lips like a suction mask. She suckin' slow, but then I fuck her fast. Keep my finger on the trigger like I'm pumping gas. I'm back in the bitch in the lack when I tip and I ain't talking clothes when I got a sack in the fifth. Car so clean, niggas ask for a pick. And when they done the girlfriend, come and ask for the dick. Rocks on my watch, no glass on my wrist. Stay winning, cause I never spend cash on a bitch. Why you gotta spend a dollar just to get a hold of holler and I fuck them high rap? Fast in the bitch. Halloween niggas got a trick for treats. The only time I pay the blowers for a swish of sweet. And if I text a hoe, she never hit delete. Become a game on point like Pistol Pete. Blast nigga walking when I hit the street. That's why a nigga get chose when I hit the scene. Your bitch give me more head than Mr. Clean. Become a paint so wet it look like Krispy Kreme when I'm tipping.
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 Yeah. I got that OG all in my blunt. OG all of my sneakers, it's a thunderstorm in my trunk. From the music all of my speakers, it go bang. It go bang. It go bang. Bitch, now watch me swing. I got that OG all of my blunt. OG all of my sneakers, it's a thunderstorm in my trunk. From the music all of my speakers, it go bang.
What up, yo? Killer, what up, my nigga?
It go bang.
Check 1-2, what it do? Let's go.
I'm an OG on that OG. I got the 40 on me, no OE. In my 20 ounce, I got an OZ. I'm on Cali, bud, at OC. Till I OD and need rehab. I get so hot, I'm in a nosebleed. Grind it out till I cop a cool 25-8. Put an OT.
Run it,
no sleep. Chasing dreams, you woke, bro. But I'm making green. If this rap fail, bet drank, don't. It's 10-2 for that case of lean. Add it up, do the math. Hit the lick, candy blew the slab. Spunk 10 on it, put 10s on it. No 10 on it, see through the slab. Green eyes, fish bowling. Paint so wet, that's fish. Rolling, coming down, looking good, so I'm dumping dick in your bitch.
Yes,
stripper naked, no Vic and Secret. Drink pink like Vic and Secret. Hit the cup, hit the pussy, bust a nut and tell your bitch to keep it.
OG all of my blunt, OG all of my sneakers, it's a thunderstorm in my trunk. From the music, all of my speakers, it go bang, it go bang, it go bang. Bitch, now watch me swing.
Let's go.
OG all of my blunt. OG all of my sneakers. It's a thunderstorm in my trunk. When the music all of my speakers, it go bang.
Yo, man, OG right now, too, my nigga.
It go bang.
Don't be no pain.
OG 4
hoes on both of my toes, and I keep that OG all in my swisher to keep me high. And a nigga so fly that when I walk by, these bitches take pictures. It's the Mr. Go guard your sister, bow guard your bitch. She blow hard like swishers. I take her to the room for blowjobs and distance. She give me more face than four dogs with whiskers. Nasty like the patent leather. I'm a black and red 11s. I'm a fucking fool. I used to skip class to go and get my J's about lunchtime. The freshest one in school. So fly, I make a woman drool and turn her pantyhose to a swimming pool. And my closet got more OGs than my granddaddy got in his living room. Rap niggas out here stealing moves, but I'm the Grim Reaper still killing dudes. I went from kickbacks to the car show to dropping car notes on my tennis shoes. I remember when he hoe wasn't feeling dude, but now these bitches blow me like an inner tube. And your woman watch me on YouTube and always masturbate to my interview.
I got that OG all in my blunt, OG all in my sneakers. It's a thunderstorm in my trunk. Turn the music all in my speakers. It go bang, it go bang, it go bang. Bitch, now watch me swing. I got that OG all in my blunt, OG all in my sneakers. It's a thunderstorm in my trunk. Turn the music all in my speakers. It go bang, it go bang, it go bang. Bitch, now watch me swing.
So I'ma pay the cost if I see the toll. You seeing me broke, you got a better chance of trying to see a troll. I done mean it's out and never seen a drought, but it's a rapid fail. I'ma see a stove and bring back so much cheese that my pockets gon' look like a pizza roll. Yo, hoes average, my hoes the baddest. Every chick I'm with deserve a TV roll, but I treat these hoes like dominoes. I just knock them down and get my feet a roll. I got my bopper blockers, I don't see these hoes. Two cuffs, I got a leader pole. Heat cocking when a beat drop, better fuck around and make his speakers blow. I got two cuffs and I'm leaning. My cup thick and my bitch is too. Chop the block, then I pop the lock and I drop the top of my 62. See, right here, my niggas get big blue. And say the Sprite for you new sippers. My crew vicious and got so many hoes on my dick that my pants need two sippers. See, new clippers couldn't phase your boy. I'm too player, boy. I be at your crib on a lazy boy, but naked in the kitchen drink Kool-Aid like I'm on baby boy. I wouldn't fuck with you if you paid me, boy. I'm a grown man and you a baby boy. Move the fuck around, cause I don't fuck with clowns. Let me slow it down. Well, I'm in my 96 Impala. All blue lights, screw did it. No CD players, just great taste. My dick don't fuck with no new niggas. Got two triggers, no two chains. My crew bang like gang members. Texas, man, we change lanes. We swang hard with no lane signals. These lame niggas all on my dick. Bad bitches all on my balls. I'm brain gripping when I'm in my whip. And the slap will make you say, oh my God. Every day I stay on my job. No days off, I never take slap. I get paid to rap, but when I go to sleep, I sell merch online, so that's a pay now. Low key and stay laid back, but I lay a nigga down like a wave cap. I'm in the old school, like the ride like a boat with no tent, looking like I'm bringing slaves back. I'm a beast, ain't a nigga that contain that. Southeast, I'm the coldest one to claim that. So if we talk about Houston niggas dead or alive, top five on the list is where my name at, and that's three. No beast.
Shine hard, bitch, you can see me through your blindfolds. With your eyes closed from a whole nother time zone. My mind gone like I just lost it last year. $250 for my polo, which you know by cashmere. I murder the track and skip bomb. My flow crazy like Vince Young. I wake up with my cake and we never break up. No Vince Vaughn, I'm back with it. No ad-libbing, I just eat the track like fat women in a lag chilling. Sitting on leather, my pot not a purse, so I'm sipping on yellow. I'm getting my cheddar, chasing no skis. I'm chasing my dough till I'm breaking my knees. With ice on the watch, that'll make time freeze. I'm as real as it getting you fake as IDs. I tell these hoes to hold up. Bitch, I'm about to pull up. I'm all about my bread, lettuce, and cheese like a cold cut. I swing on those who cross me, paint look glossy like a donut. With a swisher full of that Shrek, about to roll up that Fiona. Slow up, no slowing down. If you didn't know then, better know it now. That if you're whole rhyme, you better hang it up. So many bitches on my dick, I gotta chain it up. I do the track so dirty that I stain it up. But when they talking about the best, who they bringing up? I better make all the other nigga lame and fuck. And I came to show the game that the game is up. It's dope bees.
Okay, pass that motherfucking blunt. I'm just getting started. I ain't even high yet, nigga.
Most of these niggas that say they hungry ain't doing shit that it takes to eat. Just cause you might rap nice on the beat don't mean you ain't gotta be out in the streets. But a nigga like me ain't gon' preach. I'ma just show niggas I'm a straight go-getter. Only 5'6", but ain't scared of no nigga. Still got more dough than a dope dealer. On the microphone, I'm a straight gorilla. Who you know iller than a kickback killer? No flow really, and I stack that Skrilla. Folks starting to call you boy the Black Mac Miller. No, I'm not a nigga, bitch, I'm that nigga with a flow so crazy you would think I wrote it. And I've been a beast since birth. My first three words is bitch, I'm on it. Go tell Cody to roll the Jody. And go tell Dina when you see her, I will beat that
that pussy up, just name a spot for me to meet her. And I'm cleaner than a steamer on a Stanley streamer vacuum. I guess that be the reason he ho go nuts like a bag of cashews. Though Beezy, I am that dude. Body full of tattoos and his cup got me leaning like tennis shoes on a fat dude. And the day you think about going again, D-Rise will be a bad move. Cause I promise every verse I speak gon' be the shit. Like fast food, nigga. Get it? Shit like that. Never mind. And this is Reggie Bush and Kool-Aid.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand, episode 74. It's going to be a great one today. Now, I want to tell y'all this. I originally intended for this interview that I'm about to conduct to be on last week's Brad Gilmore Show, but I don't want to point any fingers, but somebody was a little trigger happy with the microphone and decided to mute himself throughout the entire interview that we did, which we got a good interview in, and then he wanted to mute himself the entire time. So I'd like to welcome back to the show, Hash Brown.
What's up, man?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I appreciate that introduction and you filling them in on what took place last week. Basically, last week you had the realest interview of your life, and it was so good that, you know, there's no audio captured from it. So
yeah, it's like Pootie Tang when he recorded the number one hit song, you know, in the country.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it just exactly.
It was a legendary interview. You know, it'll live on forever.
It definitely will. It's going to be the lost episode that, you know, one day it's going to be found and someone's going to try to do this digital restoration and remastering to bring up the level, but you're not going to hear anything. It was so epic.
Yeah, exactly.
You shorted out the microphone just with that epicness of your answers. It was very great. But welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show, I should say. I don't know. Is this considered welcome back?
Welcome back.
Yeah.
We had to redo it, so yeah, I'm back.
It's a welcome back. We were just talking about Galveston before we started rolling tape on this, and I want to say, we're talking, you know, you used to work down in Galveston, and you would take long trips to and from
Definitely.
Work, but let me ask you this. Did you ever have to take the ferry?
The ferry? Oh, no, never like that. I was on land. I didn't have to go any deeper into that area or territory, so no, I was on dry land.
Man, I went to like a party. Someone was having like a beach party, right? And I got the address, and I'm out in Friendswood, so I'm not far from Galveston. But when I got the address, it was said it was like 90 minutes away, and I was like, what? I'm not driving to Austin, you know? So I go to the address, and then I get in this long line for a ferry, and it took me forever to get across to the other island because you have to wait in line. They only get like 20 cars at a time. It was a mess. But anyway, I'm glad you don't work in Galveston anymore.
Me too.
That's a really big plus. You can be more centralized and be inside of
definitely.
City limits, which is great, man. But man, there's so much stuff to talk to you about now that we just have like time and we can just draw this thing out and just dive into Hash Brown. You know, eat away at Hash Brown if that doesn't sound weird.
I mean, we'll talk about things. I won't be dove into, I guess. So we can pause that.
We'll pause on that. We'll pause on that definitely. When did you and I meet?
Oh man, this must have been 2010-ish.
I want to say
2009, 2010. You know, when we were doing One Mike Houston, you know, shout out to John Doe and David Wright. We ran across you guys, you know, 2011, and we were looking for groups to put on and just kind of shed some light on some of the undiscovered talent in Houston. I want to say it was one of the first showcases, really, that kind of started doing things at Warehouse Live, kind of brought underground to a really nice venue. And that was pretty dope. So yeah, I've known you for several years now.
You know, I remember that One Mic show, and before that, 2011 like was only playing like the Afton Houstons and the pay to play type things, you know, where
you know, depending on how many tickets you sell, is whenever you get on stage and you only have 4 minutes and you gotta, you know, and I just remember like one mic was like, man, it was like, okay, this is like our first legit show. And I just remember my point of contact was John Dew, and a friend of the show who's been on there before. And I remember I called him and I'm like, hey, you know, we're at the venue. We need a sound check. You know, where are you? He's like, well, I'm not there. You got to find a guy named Hash Brown. So literally, I picture this huge overweight man, you know, named Hash Brown. And I'm searching Warehouse Live and I can't find anybody. And then I just see this tall kind of caramel skinned brother. Is that okay to say? Is that okay to say?
What the hell, man? Yeah, I guess so. I have caramel skin.
And I'm like, this must be Hash Brown because he's golden color. You know what I mean? Like a hash brown. I was like, this must be him. And that's when we met one another. And then, you know, it kind of kept going. And that's when I got like really into the scene. And then it was kind of the Houston Elite MCs is what I heard a lot about. And that was like the first, I guess, click of people. I would say that I started to get to know was you and Floss and John Dew and Kid the Great and all those guys and Thorough.
Yeah, man.
That was a good
whole time period, man. It'll always be fun to me because it kind of starts the beginning of where everything else is today. I'm not gonna say that we were like the center of that universe, not by any means, but I know we helped. We definitely helped a lot of people. And we wanted to cultivate the scene and see it grow. And you fast forward now, and there's a lot of dope talent in the city, and a lot of it is getting recognized nationwide, which is good. You know, I knew it would take some time, but most things that you want in life is just a matter of time before it actually happens. So
yeah, just waiting it out. But you're right that 2009, 2010 era to me was the beginning of everything that's going on now, in the sense of like, you know, that it felt like the Houston Elite MCs and like the One Mic Showcase and then the Turning Heads was like the Check Other Outfitters of the world, you know, was the first place where we started all congregating, you know, we all started meeting definitely. Up and it was like oh man, there's a One Mic Show tonight, we got to all be there. And I think that is where the mentality almost started, at least for me and for people I knew, that was where the mentality started of like, okay, when there's these events, we all need to be there so we can all network and we can all support and try to grow this thing out. And it was pretty cool. If you think about like that was the antithesis of the beginning of the new Houston Collective, as it's been dubbed in print before. And it's weird. So to see guys like, you know, like you're talking about, like maybe the Dope Beezys and the Propanes of the world, it was all kind of started way back when.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very passionate about the history, you know, everyone's history, but like Houston's hip hop history and knowing what it took to get to this point. And it's interesting, you name drop, Doe and Pro. Those are two people that have graced the One Mic stage before. You know, we've all done shows and events together. And I think it's cool, you know. I also think it's cool that everybody doesn't make the same type of music, but still can represent Houston in a dope way. So that's what those days kind of remind me of, especially now seeing, you know, especially like seeing where Doe's at and seeing where D-Lo's at, or you know, a lot of those guys, they're really kind of in the forefront of that Houston sound and taking it further. So it's pretty cool.
It is cool to see guys like Doe and the Pros and the Fat Tonys of the world.
Yeah,
you know?
Fat Tony. I mean, yeah, Fat Tony going on tour, and it just seems like he just keeps going, man. And he's definitely a media darling, and it's cool. It's definitely cool, man. I remember going to Jose Ilfeta's studio and asking Fat Tony to jump on Love Supreme for my first album, and we recorded it. It was in the Mo, or in between Missouri City and Stafford, kind of my neck of the woods, and that was like 2007, 2008. And then kind of fast forward now, you know, we're all still cool, and everybody's, you know, everyone that put in that work is starting to shine, I think. And I think that's a great thing. don't want to be too, I don't want to sound too like, oh my God, you know, super happy, but I am happy for certain people, you know, doing what they did and they didn't stop, you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, because, you know, and you know, you've been around it a little longer than I have, but, you know, over the last 5-6 years, you know, that at least the new Houston wave has been happening. You know, we've seen so many guys come and go and drop out of it, and you know, you're always like, what happened to so-and-so? So it is nice to see these, like, certain names that we started out with continuing their pursuit and achieving, you know, certain goals and reaching certain heights and stuff, you know. It is really cool. You think, though, if they made a documentary, right, like 10 years from now, 15 years from now, about this new Houston collective, as we call it, do you think that there would have to be a nice little chapter about the Houston Elite MCs?
Yeah, definitely. There would have to be there have to be a chapter about a lot of different, you know, cliques and crews and important people in the scene. But definitely, you know, that's why, you know, that's part of the reason why I'm still here. You know, if not for anything else, you know, I love making music and I love putting it out and I love connecting to people with my music and with our music. But at the end of the day, I'll never go unacknowledged or, you know, you're not going to write us out of the history book, so to speak. So definitely them is earned a chapter. If you do 6 degrees of separation and with anybody in the scene, really, I mean, everybody should know everybody at this point, but you know, I think that would be a great thing to see put together, you know, documenting everything that's been going on, all the shows, all the songs, all the albums, all the mixtapes, all the events, you know, all the videos that have been coming out. It's a lot of high quality work, you know?
Yeah, no, there's a lot of like great stuff that's made in here. And you know, it's funny because, you know, I remember talking to DJ DMD and we were talking about the 25 Lighters video and he was like, man, that costs like 20 grand to make. And if you look at it, it's a terrible video. You know, it's just an awful video. And I'm like, you spent 20 grand on that? He was like, man, that's how it was back in the day. And, you know, and today, you know, we pay, you know, I'm talking about y'all's new video, Shaolin Blow, you know, the first single and video off y'all's new album, which we'll get into. But, you know, that's, I put that against anything that's on, you know, the 106 and Parks or the Vivos of the world. And, you know, it's shot a lot cheaper. We'll say that. I'm assuming a lot cheaper than 20 grand.
We didn't pay 20 grand. We paid for quality work, and that's what we got. Shout out to Tubo, Danny Ocean, Easybro Film, and Matthew Burkle, man. They put together a dope visual for us, dope concept, and you know, it came out right as far as our first statement with rolling out this album that we've been working on for the last 4 months. So, but yeah, it didn't cost us no 20 grand. If it was 20 grand, I think we would have found someone else to shoot.
Isn't it amazing, though, that we look back at videos from back in the day, and what's the Michael Jackson and Janet Jackson song? Is it was a Scream or something like that?
Scream.
They're
yeah,
$7 million to produce.
See, that's the thing. The thing back then, like, there was money. There was more money circulated amongst the artists and producers and videographers, and of course, like labels paid for. You know, there would be video budgets for artists signed to a label. And, you know, these are things that they would ultimately have to recoup or, you know, based off royalties or maybe show money that they were getting, you know, they could afford to spend, you know, $10,000, $20,000, $100,000, maybe even $1 million on a Hype Williams video. You know, back in the day, Hype was shooting all of the high quality, you know, superstar, hip hop superstar videos. And those were costing $1 million a piece, you know. So it's definitely scaled down as far as the amount of money, especially in Houston, the amount of money is actually circulating amongst the people in the industry, I guess, in the underground or independent scene, whatever you want to call it. But I think the internet and just, you know, mobile applications. And I think like how you can set up a studio in your house, you can learn how to do production, you know, on a few tutorials or someone to show you how to use something. you can start putting your stuff out right now. You know, you can get a few $100, get somebody with a 7D or a 5D camera and go shoot a viral video. And it could hit, you know, the crap shoot every time, but it could be like the next big thing. You could wake up and have a million views, you know what I'm saying, on something that costed a few $100 to put together. So it's definitely different from the $20,000 25 lighters video.
it just amazes me about, like, you know, all the stuff we're able to do. You know, you talk about setting up like a studio at home. Like right now I'm podcasting from my house, and you know, to do something like this, you know, you'd have to, back in the day, you know, 10, 15 years ago, rent out a studio, set up a time, the guy's got to meet you there, or you got to go to a radio station, try to rent out their space. Like, I mean, it was a huge ordeal. And now with the internet, man, and you can get your message out there, you know, right when y'all's video dropped, you know, you can tweet it out to a few people, a few blogs pick it up, and then they share it, and then people share that site, you know, and it's just crazy how fast information can move nowadays. But to talk about Shaolin Blow, and we're going to talk about them and the album, which is Nonpareil. When I saw the video, we went to the Boot over there. Is that the Heights? Would that be considered the Heights area?
Yeah, that's the Heights. It's off West 20th, down the street from Wild Rose Studios. Shout out to Thoroughgood Works, him and his brother. They own the joint. Cajun food, great drinks, great time every time I go. But yeah, we had the video release event there.
And it was fun, man, because it was one of those things to where it was like, I don't know, for me it felt like, you know, I don't know, it just felt like, man, everyone was together. You know, it wasn't one of those events you wanted to go to, so because you got to be seen and you got to go network and you got to go blah, 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 blah. It was like,
Hey,
come out. You know, we're having this video. Let's just chill. Let's have some fun. And let's show you what we've been doing. And I don't know why so many events don't have that feel to me. To me, everything's like I said, like, I got to go show my face here. I got to network and I got to do this. I got to pass out business cards and mixtapes. When people pass me mixtapes without even having a conversation with me first, I just put that in a bag and I call that my coaster set. If I ever need to like set like a, you know, set my drink on something, I have a coaster set.
Oh man!
But you got the
coaster set on deck.
Oh yeah, trust me. I've multiple decks of coasters, of coaster sets. I could give out Christmas gifts for life.
Oh man, that's hilarious.
But at the event, it was just so laid back and chill, and we were all just having a good time, laughing and joking. And then, you know, the video was shown, and when I saw the video, I thought, this isn't going to make a lot of sense, but I thought, like, if 1996 was happening right now, this is the video that would start the new wave of hip hop. Do you know what I'm saying? It was just so now and original, but it was so old school, but with 2014 punched, you know, with 2014 punching old school in the face. It was weird. Yeah. How would you describe the song Shaolin Blow in the video?
Shaolin Blow, for me, it was like a statement, you know. It was very like, let's just go hard, you know. Sometimes you can kind of overthink the music that you're doing or the songs that you're writing, and it was just like, look, we got a beat, we got a concept, let's see who goes the hardest, you know what I'm saying? Come with your hardest verse, and that's what happened. As far as the event, we definitely wanted it to be, you know, like, I want to say low profile, you know, we want people to come out, but it was more like, just, you can't take for granted that people know who you are, or maybe they don't know who you are, maybe they forgot about you. So it was kind of a humble approach, and I think that's why it came off the way it did. We're just chilling. We really just, you know, whoever's interested, we just want to show you what we've been working on just to get you excited. We're excited about it, you know, and we can build from there. Too many times, I think people get caught up in the look of something, or if they're going to an event, they, you know, it has to be the right look or the right people, and a lot of posturing and politics, which, you know, it's necessary, I think, for any artist out there trying to get their name out there. But for us, it's not about that anymore. It's just about, like, we're going to make the best music we can, and we're going to put it out, and we want people to hear it, get a chance to like it or dislike it, you know, whatever it's going to be.
And I think that's like the right approach to do. It's just like, don't worry too much about the place you're doing it, because it's not about the place you throw your event or the dress code of the event or the people who show up. It's about getting the product out there. And I think we do. I think there is a certain Houston mentality, especially in like the night scene of like music and entertainment, of it's like, we want everything to be exclusive. I need, you know, it's got to be exclusive event, invitation only.
Well, see, to me, I mean, there's nothing wrong with exclusivity, but the reason why our event was the way it was is because it's a reflection of us. And really, at the end of the day, we're grown people. We like to chill, get some good food, get some good drinks, have some good music. You know, DJ Arsenic was, I mean, we were jamming out towards the end of the night, you know, like
when that Bobby Shmurda came on,
like, yeah,
the place
yeah.
was about so taking off.
I think you kind of have to sell your personality, and I think when you go to those events where there's a VIP and there's a this person can't get in or all that kind of stuff, it just to me it's a reflection of the people throwing it, and it's just a lot of fake people doing fake shit. Pardon my language.
No, it's fine. It's a podcast. Yeah. So we're allowed to do that. But for me, you know, I mean, obviously people know that, you know, I delve into the night scene, the nightclub scene, which I find funny because I hate that stuff. I hate nightclubs. I hate clubs. I hate it all. Really, I honestly do. I've always thought the VIP section was, if you want to find the most egotistical, douchiest person in the room, just look for the VIP section. You know what I mean? Like, if you feel that important, if you feel like you're that important that you need to be roped off from everybody else, and what's funny is the people in the VIP section are always having the least amount of fun. They're always just sitting there. They're chilling. They don't want to get up because they think they're too cool to dance or to have fun. And it's like the people in like the general population, I guess we could call it. It's almost like, it's like a general population, and then you have the one percenters. So the 99% is out there having a good time, having fun, no worries, and then the one percenters just want to stay up there and be all into themselves.
I don't really think I've ever, like, I've been in VIPs before. I don't think the turn up was very legendary in VIP. Most of my turn ups are amongst the people with the people, you know, so I can't relate. I mean, some people are into that, you know, buying bottles, being sectioned off, hey, look at me, I'm cooler, or posturing like they're, you may have more money than the normal people, which is not always the case. So it's just, you know, I applaud you for your work in that area. I wouldn't be able to withstand it, man. Give me a cool sports bar and some good music in the background, man, and I'm straight.
Hey, man, I'm kind of with you on that, man. It's just funny when that's what I don't like about the exclusivity thing. It's just like, What I liked about your event, and what I've liked really about all events that have been thrown by anybody in THEM, is it's everyone's equal. You walk in, you feel like you're people are appreciative that you're there. You know, I feel like everyone out of y'all's clique, everyone's like, man, thank you for coming. And then, you know, you chat them up a little bit, as opposed to being like, hey, you know, $15 to get in. If you want to wear that hat, it's 20. You know what I mean? It's just like, man.
Well, yeah, I think that goes back to, you know, we had to be realistic with ourselves before even starting, you know, this album. And you know, some of us have extensive catalogs and you know, plenty press coverage, plenty shows, plenty festivals and things to our name. But it's a very like, what have you done for me lately type industry with music, especially as an independent artist. So we didn't go into it like, yo, they should know who we are, and a million people should come out because, you know, we are who we are. Like, nah, we looked at it like we're new artists, you know what I'm saying? And that's kind of, I think that's the best approach, especially anytime you got a new project coming out. You can't take for granted, because people's attention spans are really short these days, and the music reflects that. Some of the music that's popular, it reflects how short people can pay attention to a song or an album. And, you know, we just don't take that kind of stuff for granted, man, being as experienced as we are.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I think too. It's just like, it is a very like, what have you done for me lately type of vibe. And to me, it seems like you know, whenever y'all are, and I even equate this to myself with 2011, like, we're not constantly out there. Y'all aren't constantly putting stuff out all the time. It's just like, hey, we've put together this nice body of work. Check it out.
Yeah.
You know, here it is. You know, we're not going to, and then you'll promote afterward and be out there. But it's just like, I think people feel this need to just like, I got to drop a track every Monday morning. I got to do a freestyle to this. I got to do a freestyle to that. I got to talk about current events every day on, you know, I got to put, you know, it's just like, man, no, just give me a good body of work, you know, like a Kanye West or a Jay-Z. You don't see them doing that. You know what I mean? Look to the people at the top. At the top, they don't put out new stuff all the time. They make sure it's quality over quantity, right? So I just think I think we're too convoluted in that aspect. And I think that's what gets to the point of where it's like it's too much. There's too much hip hop in Houston. And you know what I mean by that? It's like everybody went from being the fan to wanting to make it, which that's how we all start. But it's just like there's a difference between putting your voice on a track and making music. And I just think that there's a large majority of people who just want to do it for recognition and to say they do it and don't truly have a passion. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree. I agree to a certain extent. I think artists, you know, everyone's motivated by different things. You know, me, I was always motivated by trying to make something that would be comparable to, you know, a Chronic or Illmatic or The Diary or, you know, Blueprint. I wanted to make great work. I feel like I was chasing classics because I love classic hip hop. I love albums, which is not really the most popular medium of music these days. It's all about the song and the single and the video. And then, you know, people don't really care about the album. Most times the mixtapes go harder than the album. So that was my motivation. You know, of course, you know, as an artist and producer, I would love to get compensated for what I do. And in those times that I'm able to, I'm extremely happy. You know what I'm saying? I'm pushing to be able to be full time with it. But everyone's goals are different. Some people want to get on radio and have that hit single and, you know, and live that lifestyle. Or some people just want the fame. They don't really, it's not really about the money. Like you said, some people just want to hear their voice and they want people to tell them it's tight and they want to be seen. You know, those types of things weren't really too high on the totem pole for me as far as importance, as far as doing music and artistic expression. That's just me.
Well, so you said something about you're an artist and a producer. So I've always wanted to ask somebody this, who is both, because you can see it from both sides. So as a artist, you don't only produce for yourself, you know, you get beats from other producers, right?
Correct.
Okay. What is your thought on the producer tag over a track where it says, you know, like, you know, at the beginning of the track or somewhere on the song. What do you think of that?
I think that's important. I think the producer needs to have that credit or have that recognition of, you know, they made the music. They made the music that people are rapping or singing on top of. So I'm cool with tags. I think is even cooler than tags is just hearing something and knowing exactly who it is. As a producer, that's what I have always, I don't tag all of my tracks, but I do hear, at least amongst people that have heard a lot of my music, they tell me, oh, that sounds like you, or that sounds like something you did. And that's, I think that probably means more to a producer in the long run than, you know, having their voiceover all over the beat or something like that at the beginning of the song.
Well, you know, to me, see, I don't like the tag on the beats just because it's like, I do think the producer definitely always needs to get his or her recognition, but you know, that comes with the album credits, or like you said, like they have such a distinctive sound, people know them off the rip. Like when you hear a Just Blaze track or a Timberland track or Rick Rubin, you know, they don't have their tags on them, but you know, as soon as that beat comes on, as soon as you hear Big Pimpin'.
Just tag some of his stuff, but it's usually...
Oh yeah, Just Blaze? Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's usually him. He does some. He doesn't do all. But I mean, I don't. I guess it would be up to the artist. You know, if the artist is comfortable with that. You know, and like I said, if you're listed in the credits, you are getting credit. But I think the song is a promotional tool for the artist, and it's a promotional tool for whatever project it's on. I don't really see anything wrong with it being a promotional tool for the maker of the music. You know what I'm saying?
No, I get that's why I wanted to ask you, because I understand exactly where you're coming from. But do you think that it takes away from the craftsmanship of the music to where it's like, because you know you don't hear that in country music or rock music or indie or any other sort of music. You don't hear the producer tag, you know?
Well, that's true. That's true too, but you have to think about it. You have to think about the genre and where the genre started from. It was a very rebellious music type. You know, a lot of people didn't think that rap or hip hop would even last 10, 15 years. So you have to think about that mentality of some kids in the park, maybe rapping over a beat or a DJ cutting, scratching, and them wanting recognition. You know, they wanted their voices to be heard. So I think it more or less stems from that. I think it's just the mentality of the culture. It is a very, hey, look at me, this is what I did, or this is where I came from, but look at me, I made it type mentality. And I don't know if that really resonates with, say, country or rock artists or blues artists or anything like that. I don't think it's the same thing. So I feel what you're saying, but you kind of have to take into account what type of music it was when it first started. What was the initial purpose of hip hop? And it was to give a voice to people that probably didn't have one. So that's why you get that old, well, I want people to know I made this beat. I want people to know that this is my freestyle. This is my artwork. This is my video. I shot it. You know what I'm saying? Like credit and recognition is very important in hip hop, I think.
Okay. I definitely agree with that. Now that you've said that, you know, I kind of leaning more toward, I'm not so against the producer tag.
But it can get annoying, to your point. Like, if it's just like, if it's a tag throughout the entire beat and it's taken away from the song, then yeah, of course, it's annoying. Like, I don't think that should be done. But I don't think something at the very beginning of the song, I don't think it really takes away too much from the song.
Someone get to Funkmaster Flex and tell him when I'm trying to download these songs that he's exclusively releasing, not to drop bombs all over them. Can't hear. But on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on the Brad Gilmore Show, and we're going to come back with more Hash Brown after this. So y'all stay tuned.
I wanna do. Damn, girl, I'm feeling you. So let's just do. And me, I'm in that place you wanna be. Yeah, girl, I'm talking VIP. So let's just be. So let's go.
But I'm just trying to figure out if I love you though, cause you know what they say about your type. Off-white, model like, only order salads right. Petite, with an accent that's thick as hell. Real sweet, with some eyes like you're from Brazil. And well, I can tell that you're feeling this. And in them Louis Vuittons, girl, you be killing it. This is something that I've been on. And your body I can send on. Friend zone, I'm just asking what the fuck is that. You not trying to fall in love, good luck with that. Cause your mama say better get stuck with that. And your friends say he is where the buzz is at. So, why you trying to act mean, girl, when you know your boy tighter than them skinny jeans, girl?
fit like a list, but I gotta keep it clean, girl. You just gotta try me once, I'm a fiend, girl, dream girl. Something like Beyonce ring, girl. Something like Beyonce one day. Maybe a bunch of kids like the Brady, trying to say the world why Clef on some Haiti. Lately, baby, I've been thinking I can change for you. Got a boy playing a new game
so
for you.
Let's go. Take my hand.
To the sun, you worked all day, got a little bit done, that's okay, now the night begins, as long as we don't go home tonight, never ends, so oh, yo, we're way past go, collect 200, now let's head to the show, see your favorite band with a drink in the hand, the way you look at me, it's clear I'm the man, but this ain't about me, this about you, the way you're looking at me is how I'm looking at you, with them cat eye shades, thin little waist, thick gold ass, and the lips that taste, Say what you think about, she said nothing, it's easy to see that heart start to pumping, pulse increasing, cheeks start to blushing, but do you wanna be starting some, mama say, mama say, mama kusa. Mama say, mama say, mama kusa. Your mama don't like me, daddy wanna fight me. I don't really care, you down or not. We can hop in the truck, drive far away. And with a little luck, maybe you stay in my bed, rest your head, and we can think about the greatest day.
Sun.
listening. Please subscribe on iTunes and add us to your playlist on Stitcher Radio. Come tune in next week.
The Brad Gilmore Show expresses views and opinions that apply to Brad Gilmore and his guest alone. They do not reflect the views and opinions of Reality Wrestling 2011 or any other entity.
Oh, Brad, what have you done now?